Welcome back to Bull Droppings, everybody. I'm Josh McSwain here with my co-host AJ Torres. We're coming at you with another victory show as we pulled off another victory, downing the Jaguars 30-16 this Sunday. It is the fourth consecutive year that we have swept the Jaguars. And by default, we have now ruined our draft position. Yep, that is what was the result of this week's game, folks. With the Lions pulling off an upset over the Cardinals, the loser of this toilet bowl game ended up with the number one pick, well, pole position for the number one pick, let's put it that way. So right now, we have the Jags, who are currently slated to pick number one overall, followed by the Lions, and then us. So we're going to talk a little bit about the game. We're going to break down some more of these draft possibilities, and then look ahead to this week against the Chargers. But there was a really interesting note that I got from this Sunday's game, and it was about Philip Dorsett. Now, this guy was our second leading receiver on Sunday with 43 yards. What I realized about Dorsett this week is the dude has played four games for three different teams, and he's also played for and against two different teams. Let me break it down for you. So he started out with the Jaguars, played for them against the Cardinals in week three. Then he got released, went up to Seattle, played one game against the Steelers, didn't play in another game for the Seahawks. Then he shows up here. He plays against the Seahawks and then against the Jaguars. So now, as you can see, he has played for the Jaguars, against the Jaguars, for the Seahawks, against the Seahawks. how weird is that? Has this ever happened? I don't know if it has.
That's another WTF stat. We got him up on Instagram to see if they'll have that in a book somewhere. But yeah, it's absolutely
like ESPN stats and crazy information. Thing about that, I don't know. But well, yeah, it's weird to me that this journeyman guy comes in and he's getting some targets like that. I mean, Nico Collins only had two catches. Well, to be fair, Dorsett only had two catches as well. So, yeah, pretty much Brandon Cooks is our offense at this point because we have no run game and nobody else is making plays.
Well, I was going to do the takeaway about that. It's a miracle. Jags or no Jags, we finally had a quarterback throw over 200 yards, finally rush over 60 yards, and had a receiver go for 100 yards. Finally, something that's actually, I guess, the norm. Because if you have 100 yards receiving, that's an elite game. Cut and dry.
Yes.
Doesn't matter who's covering you, who's your quarterback. If you get 100 yards receiving, that's an elite game. Not category, yes. Just game. If you throw 200 yards plus, that's average. And we rushed about 60, 70-ish yards. That just means that you're not dog water that day.
Well, the problem with that is we were averaging under 3 yards a carry. Our run game still sucks.
We have the worst rushing in the NFL. The worst. It's
not just about.
It's just cut and dry. It's the worst in the NFL. But as far as I'm concerned, it didn't run like the worst team in the NFL. I mean, you have David Johnson average four yards a carry, Rex 2.6, Royce Freeman 3 carries averaging 2.7, and Davis Mills, you can't count that.
No.
But the fact Brandon Cooks is going to be Brandon Cooks, 7 catches off of 10 targets, 102 yards, 2 touchdowns. And long neck Davis Mills actually looked like he wasn't browning his pants while under center. So, upside. And mind you, there's some quarterbacks that never get a chance, like Jake Fromm just recently, and I'm actually happy he's getting a shot. I was a big fan from the Sugar Bowl. But as far as Davis Mills, it's actually nice that they fully gave him the confidence and they said, hey, we're going to give this a go 100%. Takeaways from this team. The I forget the new interim head coach, the guy with the ginger beard, means well, but unfortunately just did not get it done. Trevor Lawrence, okay under center, but at the same time he performed at the same level as Davis Mills. The big takeaway was James Robinson, no surprise with the rush game. And the leading receiver, I mean, Treadwell, never heard of him. And then,
James O'Shaughnessy, the tight end.
O'Shaughnessy, yeah. Leading receiver.
Yeah, definitely not the prettiest game to watch, whomever you're rooting for in this one.
But to our advantage, thankfully, to my surprise, and I had Miles Jack in Keeper League Fantasy, Davis Mills only took one sack.
Right.
Very surprised. And I gotta call it where it's due. That pass rush from Jacksonville has a lot of talent. I cannot believe there was only one sack on there and it wasn't from Miles Jack.
Well, who did get that sack? Was it the other Josh Allen? Okay, I probably shouldn't call him that. He might take that personally.
Malcolm Brown.
Malcolm Brown, yeah, defensive tackle. Yeah, I just thought it was really funny whenever the Bills and the Jaguars played, and I think it was Michael Irvin called the Jaguars Josh Allen the other one. And he puts out a meme like, I took that personally. That was a good time.
Always a good time. Come on.
Yeah, but kudos to Davis Mills. He's had a couple of moments this year, but it's just been tough sledding for him. Obviously, no run game to help him out. The offensive line has been shaky at best. So, not sure that he's ever going to be a star, but maybe if we actually put some good pieces around him, he could be competent. We still don't know. It's really too early to tell. But, yeah, I want to just dive in for a minute about the situation with the Jags and the Urban Meyer experiment finally being over. I mean, I only thought he was going to last a couple of years, but the fact he didn't even make it through a full season was a little bit of a surprise to me. Nonetheless, yeah. His tenure was tumultuous. You had the whole hiring Chris Doyle as the strength and conditioning coach. He gets fired after a day. And then you had the video of him with the young lady. And then the report.
Getting the lap dance in public.
Their kicker, just like. My thought when they hired him was like, the guy's been in the booth for a long time. And, I mean, he kept resigning from college positions because he said he couldn't handle the stress and was doing it for his health. So just like, it really confused me why he took an NFL job. But anyways, it was what it was. The Jaguars continue to run their own team into the ground, which is good for us. They sure continue to clown around. Meanwhile, Shad Khan, I don't know what he's thinking half the time. Yeah, he's got a great mustache. Good
yes,
smile with that mustache. That's about all he has. People just get charmed by it, but it's like, has the dude made any good decisions?
You know, I don't know how much his son is involved with the team since he's got the wrestling company. He's got AEW. I will give Shad Khan this, though. They're voiding out his contract and are willing to take Urban Meyer to court with about it as well. They're basically saying it's like, dude, you're such an asshat that we're not paying you the rest of your contract. We're willing to bring you to court for it, which I have no idea how that will go. But as far as I'm concerned, you brought in people who shouldn't have been here. You acted like an ass. You did not take the team plane home to publicly cheat on your wife, which, by the way, I'll just say this. If that was Matt Nagy, he'd be gone.
On the spot.
On the spot. It, you know, essentially it's just kind of like you heard the news. It's like he's going to have to earn his trust back in the locker room. but he never seemed to regain that. It's like, if you go by this, right? Do I think Trevor Lawrence is talented? Yeah. There's no way that every single scout in America said, oh, this guy is the next Andrew Luck type prospect, and all of them fail on it. It's the system. It's the coaching. They failed Trevor, and they have to do it again. Now, do I think Byron Leftwich is the guy? That's my pick personally, but anywho. The point being is, we thought this year that it would be close against the Jags both times, and we thought that they could really just beat us in. No. Urban Meyer, no Urban Meyer. And mind you, you had a start in James Robinson. You had a start in Trevor Lawrence both games. It was, were they close? Yeah. But were they more than one score apiece?
Yes, yeah. They were.
That's the big shock. If it was kind of like this, right? Based on the team and its expectations going into this season for the Texans, if they got beat by the Jags by a touchdown or less, could you really complain based on the talent of that team? No, not really.
Not really. No, I wouldn't say that.
But you beat them, and that just shows you how much of a colossal mess that is. And even against Correct. A bad team like the Texans, could that interim head coach try and pull everybody into a locker room, try to adjust to everything? And we also learned that for next week, the play calling duties are going to the coordinator and not the interim head coach, which changes dynamics of things. But it just shows you that whatever they're trying to do is not working at a rapid pace. Again, right. You could blame the Khan family for the hire, but it's also, realistically, it doesn't matter what team on there, not everything's going to be a go.
True.
It is a machine that is not well-oiled and maintained. It needs part replaced. It needs maintenance. And you need to find the guys to actually give a damn to help you out. This is a project. This is like a project car. Far from perfect. It's not smooth.
That's all very true.
The transmission's clicking and the engine's knocking.
Right. But anyways, let's talk a little bit of draft stuff in light of this. So, let's assume that the draft order stays the same as it is right now. Obviously, it's a big if, but if the draft were held next week, you'd have the Jaguars picking first, then the Lions, and then us. So if you have the Jags with the number one overall pick, they're not going to take a quarterback with
this
that
is
top
not a
quarter, pick.
This
so
is not
you're
a
not going to have
draft.
A team that trades up to get that selection. So they can't demand a king's ransom for it, which makes me think that the Jags would probably just take the best player available with the number one overall pick, which is probably Kayvon Thibodeau, the defensive end from Oregon. But like you mentioned, they have some pass rush there already. Now, there are some people who say you can never have enough good pass rushers in this league as it is right now, just because of all the prolific passing. And I'm kind of inclined to agree. I'd say you stick with it. You take the best player available. It's probably what happens. Now you go to number two, you have the Lions. I don't think many people are all that confident in Jared Goff, but obviously their opinions don't really matter. What matters is Dan Campbell's opinion and, you know, the GM's opinion as well.
Of course.
So do you think they would take Kenny Pickett, who's presumably the number one quarterback on the board this year? Do they take him with the number two overall pick, or are they going to try and trade down and maybe look at a quarterback that could use some more development later in the first round?
I mean, you got Jared Goff
and get
on the
more
board,
picks.
So I assume no. What I would try to do if I'm the Detroit Lions, I mean, if you can't trade it down, you also got to take the next best player available. This team actually does have talent, and if you could tell by the coaching, them beating the Fraudinals, as I'm calling them now, You had Kyler Murray in there, where if you had a full wide receiver core or not, you let the Detroit Lions take a crap all over you. So the Detroit Lions are actually, if you look at so many close games they've had this year, they're not as bad as people think.
No, they're not.
I don't think they're as good as the 1-15 Jags last year, because that was a really good team.
Debatable.
I'm just saying that was a really good team for just a one-win team.
You might have a point. And obviously, if the Jags hadn't been starting Jake Luton instead of Gardner Minshew, they probably wouldn't have Trevor Lawrence right now. But I digress on that point.
Which is correct. We can't change the history.
No, you can't.
So if I'm the Detroit Lions, I think they need a little upgrade. The two things that stick out with me is pass rush. This is a very heavy pass rush and offensive lineman draft early in the first round. So if you're not taking one of those, you have to trade down. To me, it's pass rush and wide receiver, as I said. If I'm going by Pro Football Focus, they actually have Aiden Hutchinson from Michigan going to the Jags. They have Kayvon from Oregon going to the Lions. At number three, they actually have the Texans taking a corner. They have Derek Stingley Jr. from LSU, but I think there's too many needs on there. Now, am I a fan of trading down? Oh, if the offer is great, why the hell not? So here goes to my next one, and here seems to be the favorite here. They have the Jets taken what they say is the best offensive tackle in the draft, purely because of what they say is a rare combination of size, speed, and athleticism. 6'7", 360 pounds, smooth and explosive. 897 snaps at left tackle, yielded just 14 pressures and one sack. So,
yep. Evan Neal.
As far as I'm concerned with Evan Neal, that guy, if you are the Texans, he is your priority one. And if there's a reason why that they want the Jets to take him, is because he is the number one guy on the board. Like, if you're one of those guys that loves your offensive lineman that sticks his chest out at size, athleticism, the moves, and he's not afraid to move or go far and beyond, this is essentially Penei Sewell from last year. If not, some people might say better.
Yeah. I'm wondering if it's better, honestly.
Think about it. They said that Penei Sewell was... They said Penei Sewell was the second best talent in the draft, and that included a quarterback that was the last prospect, you know, rated that high since Andrew Luck, and before that, Peyton Manning. So the fact that we have generational talents coming out of the draft back-to-back, I mean, I think it should be Evan Neal, and I don't think it's even close because of the offensive line troubles that have affected the running game, that have affected Davis Mills throwing the ball the way he should. So if I'm Detroit, because of the Goff contract, you got to wait. I think I'm going pass rush the Jags. I think you could go pass rush again.
Right.
This is going to be very interesting to see how it works out. But the number one thing, and I know – we had a long break on this subject, so I'm very hesitant of bringing it up again, Deshaun. And we also always start this by hypothetically, he's cleared. Miami at number 12 has that pick going to the Eagles. So where would that trade go to? Miami would have the 21st overall pick. That's San Fran's pick. So 21 at this moment in time. So based on what's going on, I don't care about the win streak so much because if you just look at Tua, as some people call him, turn the ball over, There's so much room for improvement. The defense bails him out. The wide receivers seem to bail him out. The rush game seems to be performing above expectations. If you just go by Tua itself, I'm sorry. It's just, I think he needs a little bit more time, or he's starting to look like it's possibly a bust. I'm giving Tua the benefit of the doubt. But as far as like skill-wise and ceiling, who's better? Deshaun's better. Cut and dry.
No question about it.
Cut and dry. Deshaun is just better. So I'm kind of just looking at these teams going around, right? The Jets is a wash. That's not happening. Detroit's not happening. Carolina, the thing is, you traded, a lot of people think they overpaid for draft compensation for Sam Darnold. You only had three games out of him. And also, the reason why I'm not bringing him out is because it seems like P.J. Walker, they don't have faith in because they're not giving him the nod. But also, here's an interesting statistic. As of this date, December 21st, 2021, the last 12 starts that Cam Newton has been the starter for the Carolina Panthers, 0-12.
Yep.
The last 12 starts, he's been announced as the starting quarterback, 0-12. Now, I don't care what you're paying him. Numbers do not lie. Do I think that it was pretty cool for him for, you know, guys sounded like anime chicks going, welcome home. Yeah, that was cool. But as far as the results, as far as the victory, as far as the song and dance, it's not there. It's not there. You need to move on. And so Matt Rhule is saying, hey, I want to win. Okay, your defense is fine. You had Stephon Gilmore there. You drafted J.C. Horn. Your whole defense looks fine. But Christian McCaffrey is looking fragile, like you could step on him like stairs, and he's not going to get up. You freaking trample him, and he's gone. So he's went from Mr. Magnificent to Mr. Unreliable. And your quarterback situation is in the air like you're juggling. So this is just me. If one team, if I had to pick teams to pull the trigger, it's Carolina or it's the Giants. And I'm sorry, but Daniel Jones is inconsistent, and I agree with shutting him down because it's a neck injury. But this is year three. You haven't got much progress out. Your offensive line still sucks, so they're going to have to draft offensive line heavy. But, I mean, if you go by just quarterback talent, right, if you think you're a quarterback away of showing everybody up, did Jake Fromm show promise? Yeah, but he hasn't played since the Sugar Bowl, and it was garbage time. Did I think he played better than Mike Glenn in one series than Glenn did in three games? Oh, of course, absolutely. But I don't think the Giants are going to be in that running for Russell Wilson. So who's the next guy in line? Deshaun Watson.
Right. So with all of that, I was trying to just think about any other contenders.
I just don't think there's trade. I just don't think there's anybody else. I mean, unless you think that only other thing I could think about, I just don't think if Deshaun Watson will want to go. But to make this easy, Philadelphia has three first-round picks this year.
Right.
Do you trade all three to get Deshaun? Now, mind you, there's many of these trades, right? Correct me if I'm wrong. As in, hey, 2023, our first-round pick is gone. 2024, our first-round pick is gone. Instead, you pick guys on the radar in this draft that's, this is a stacked draft outside quarterback. You get your, yes, your overhaul that you get is over after this year. And then from that, right, I assume you stick with, well, I assume Jalen Hurts is going to be in that trade. So you go with I mean, what do you draft from there if you're the Texans? You got your offensive line, you get a little bit of pass rush, and I assume what,
Maybe
linebacker,
grab a
maybe?
receiver.
That
There's a
receiver
few
too.
good receivers to get in the first round. You got Chris Olave, Garrett Wilson from Ohio State, Jameson Williams from Alabama. There's some options. I was just trying to think of other teams could be interested in a quarterback. What about the Steelers? I mean, they got to find a replacement for Big Ben next year because he ain't getting the job done anymore.
I think it's definitely retirement. This is his last hurrah.
Oh, it is for sure. So, I mean, they got to have a plan,
But my
which
only
makes me
thought
think they
is,
could be a
why are you?
contender to trade up and maybe get Kenny Pickett, considering Pickett is a Pittsburgh Panther. He could come right into the Steelers and he could potentially start immediately. That's a
He
possibility.
could.
Or maybe the Steelers just send the Texans the whole kit and caboodle for Deshaun. That's another possibility. I don't know how resolute the Texans are going to be to keep him out of the AFC. At this point, I don't think it matters. Just
No, as long
like
as you get done,
get him
in
out of
my
here.
opinion.
But I mean, the Steelers, other or the Dolphins, those are the only two AFC teams I really think would make a huge push. Maybe the
Yeah.
Broncos? I don't know. But anyways, let's try and get back to the Texans pick for just a minute. With that number three selection, you've talked a lot about getting pass rush, and it's definitely needed. So, I mean, I don't think Thibodeaux will be around. Aiden Hutchinson might be around, but I would lean more towards getting an offensive lineman, and I'm not
Agreed.
sure that anyone's going to jump up to take Evan Neal. So it comes down to, do we think Hutchinson is that special of a talent that you have to take him? And I, for what I have seen of him, I don't know that he is. Obviously, he's a great player, and I think he'll make some team fairly happy. But you look at the other edge rushers in this draft, I think there's quite a few of them. I think that we could get another really good one early in the second round as well. So I
I'm with
say go
Evan
with,
Neal heart with
yeah.
a full head of steam because Evan Neal is
Me
going to
too.
change the dynamic of the offense. It's going to help your young quarterback have a little confidence from the edge rushers and defensive ends. Not only that, but this team is finally going to be able to run off tackle if you have that guy, where he is. If you have him starting left tackle tomorrow, it's going to be an improvement. He's going to be able to start right away, and he's going to be the real deal.
Right. So obviously there is a lot more football left to be played and a lot more draft position left to be determined. And part of that football left continues this Sunday, day after Christmas, as we host the LA Chargers. This will be Justin Herbert's first trip to Houston, and I do not have very high expectations for this game, as you can probably imagine.
The only thing that's going to keep him on his toes is the secondary. And outside of that, I think there's going to be plenty of garbage time in this match, particularly after having a grudge against losing to Kansas City the way they did. Especially since when you're just the way that it finished, the fact that they left too many points on the board, or I'm sorry, left too many points off the board. This is going to be an easy win for them. And then, if they want to, they could try to fool around and test some things. But Thursday night, too many times they did not go for the field goal. I could argue the same thing with the Ravens when they have the best kicker in the NFL by a long shot. Yeah, but if you just go by talent, if you go by coaching, this is an all Chargers game. I expect this to be a 30-10 victory in favor of the Chargers.
Yeah, I kind of had about the same number in mind, like 27-6, something to that effect. Just more talent, more, congealed coaching staff. It's a mismatch. And I think that's all we really need to say on the matter. Don't really need to get into it any further. We know all the matchups, all the playmakers, they're all pointing the way of LA. So with even more rest,
yep,
we'll just say LA wins and leave it at that.
I agree.
So that settles that.
How that goes.
Please, everyone, remember to check us out on Twitter at Texans Talk Pod. And we'll be back with you next week to break down this week's developments. Any final thoughts, AJ?
Well, I think we covered everything that we needed to. Though I'm curious, what is everyone going to, since we're talking draft time, since they're thinking that the Jags are going to slate themselves in for the number one draft spot again. I'm wondering what people think who the Texans are going to draft. Because
I'm not sure I understand. I mean,
I want everybody's opinion.
Oh, okay. Now I gotcha. So yeah, definitely leave your comments below on Twitter or wherever you get this podcast, and we can continue the conversation coming up. So thank you all for listening, and on behalf of AJ Torres, I'm Josh McSwain. We'll see you next time.